When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me.
Well, we gave you a medley of songs. Trying to get to, does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Lonnie Donegan. You old-timers remember that song? Kind of a cute song. It actually was a popular song back in the 60s. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you for being with us. It is Wednesday, November the 8th. And boy, there's a lot going on. In a few minutes, Devin Watkins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will join us. We're going to talk about the decision by the Supreme Court to hear a lawsuit that will challenge the government's jawboning social media companies to censor certain kinds of political speech. Be a very interesting discussion. Stay tuned for just a few minutes. And Republicans lose big yesterday, lose big in the off-year elections. Does this portend trouble for them a year from now in the big election? We're going to talk about it. And the third GOP debate for president tonight in Miami. There's only going to be five candidates. It should be an interesting debate. We're going to tell you all about it. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 best states for education freedom. To be able to talk about what you want to talk about. All right? Stay tuned for that as well towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, the best haircutting place in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza. It's on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment. You'll get the best haircut at the best price. 727-733-3773. And Arborlife Tree Service. Anything to do with a tree. I don't care what it is. Whether it's public or private property. You own a business or it's on your home. Whatever it has to do with a tree, you want to cut a tree down, you want to enhance your trees, whatever, you want to stump grind, call Arborlife. Get a free estimate. They're the best. 727-330-1999. So, boy, oh boy, if Republicans were hoping there would be a good sign in the off-year election yesterday, there was not much good news. Not much good news at all. Democrats will retain control of Virginia's state Senate. And they actually flipped the House in Virginia from Republicans to Democrats. Now, that was a state that we were hoping was going more and more red. You know, Youngkin, the governor, he even had designs, Glenn Youngkin had designs to possibly run for president. Did you know that? This will stifle it a little bit. Glenn Youngkin was attempting to win total GOP control of the Virginia State Legislature. That's not going to happen. At least 21 Democrats have been elected to the state Senate. 51 Democrats were elected to the state House. And those counts are still going on a little bit. Abortion. That was a big topic. It went pro-choice all the way. Ohio had a big vote on it. Even in Virginia, Youngkin leaned into the issue on abortion. He pushed a 15-week abortion ban. That went down the tubes. Ohio, voters there convincingly approved a ballot measure to protect abortion rights. In Kentucky, Democratic Governor Andy Beshear was reelected. A Democratic governor in a Republican state. He was reelected in part by criticizing opposition to abortion. Abortion is the third rail for Republicans. They had better figure out a way to deal with that, because it looks like when it comes to the voters directly voting on it, they do want to keep abortion in place. Now, I am pro-life. I think every human being that is unborn is precious and has a right to life. But I also feel that the states have the right to decide. And in each of these states recently, abortion seems to be surviving. And by the way, in a closely watched state Supreme Court race in Pennsylvania, a Democrat won an open seat. And he can't. He promised. He campaigned on a pledge to uphold abortion rights. So the winner, as far as all those races are concerned, yesterday was abortion. It really was. All right. In the meantime, did you know about Rashida Tlaib? She got censured yesterday. Remember, she said that errant Hamas rocket that landed in the hospital parking lot. Remember, she said that was an Israeli missile that hit the hospital. Remember that? It turned out it was not the case, but she went ahead with it anyway. So the House censured Rashida Tlaib by a vote of 234 to 188 yesterday. Now, the punishment, while largely symbolic, was a formal public rebuke of her anti-Israel comments. She's been very anti-Israel, and she is Palestinian. By the way, 22 Democrats voted with 212 Republicans to censure Tlaib. Four GOP lawmakers voted against the censure. The measure was introduced by Republican freshman Congressman Rich McCormick of Georgia. And he said this: if this is not worthy of censure, in other words, the speech of Tlaib on the Israeli situation, if this is not worthy of censure, what is? When you can call for the annihilation of a country and its people, if that's not worthy of a censure, what is? In the text of his resolution, he accused Tlaib of promoting a false narrative regarding the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel, and for calling for the destruction of the state of Israel.
So, and I think she used that quotation, I don't know if it's exactly
from the river to the sea.
From the river to the sea, is
which
that what
is
it
that,
is?
Yes.
Which means the annihilation of...
It's code words for annihilating all the Jews in Israel.
Yet Trump is impeached for saying, go to the Capitol and
march peacefully to the Capitol. Absolutely. The fix has been in for a long time. Anybody with a brain knows that. Even me. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Devin Watkins. Can't wait to talk with Devin Watkins from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court. Going to hear censorship jawboning issues.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And it's a Wednesday. We're delighted to have Devin Watkins join us. He is an attorney for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He focuses on things like litigation, government transparency, legal studies, and the like. And we're going to talk to him about an amicus brief filed by the Competitive Enterprise Institute, or submitted, I should say, regarding the Supreme Court's decision to hear a lawsuit that challenges what's called government jawboning. Devin, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you. First of all, the term jawboning, I guess, is something new to a lot of people. What do they mean when they talk about censoring jawboning?
So jawboning is when the government kind of uses indirect pressure to kind of pressure someone into changing their beliefs or what they're saying publicly. So they might threaten your customers or your clients, or in other ways try to kind of coerce you indirectly.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so in this particular case, we're talking about the federal government jawboning or pressuring private groups like social media platforms and the like to suppress political speech of certain people, is that it?
No, specifically in this case, we're talking about the National Rifle Association, the NRA. They were creating a kind of insurance product that they were going to several, using several different banks to be able to provide that to consumers. And so the government in New York went to those banks and says, you know, dealing with that NRA, that's risky. And if you don't stop that, we're going to come down hard on you, and we're going to investigate you and do all these other things to you that's going to make your business a lot harder.
All right. I guess I'm a little off on this one. It says here, the Supreme Court agreed to review cases involving the dangerous practice of government censorship exercised by way of threats and coercion to third parties, also known as jawboning. Are we talking about the same thing here?
Yes, this is that
okay.
case,
because
they were threatening the banks because they didn't like the speech of NRA to support the Second Amendment, right?
I stand corrected. All right. Does this also, Devin, would this also cover, let's say you take to the Twitter or whatever it's called these days, or one of the other platforms, and you say certain things, and the federal government is not comfortable with your saying those things. In other words, will the Supreme Court be looking at the overall philosophy of intimidation by the federal government on certain platforms?
They're not going to be specifically looking at social media platforms here, although it could come up. But the rules that are established in this case could easily apply to the government in the cases of social media companies. In those social media companies, a lot of times they don't like the speech by the individual, and so they're threatening the social media companies to try to get them to suppress the speech of the individual. So the similar ideas are at play.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what it says, quite frankly, on the thing that I was handed about this case. So in this particular case, this is involving the NRA, you say. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what are the specifics again?
So the NRA was offering this insurance called CarryGuard. That means basically they're going to try to defend you if you're wrongfully accused of improperly using your firearms in self-defense or some other things like that. And the New York State didn't like what NRA was saying about the Second Amendment. And so they said, due to the reputational risk that the NRA has and the social backlash against it, we're going to have to investigate all of the people that do business with the NRA. And so you may want to drop them as a client.
Oh, okay. So it's not directly political speech.
Well, it was their political speech on the Second Amendment on protecting the right to firearms that caused this reputational risk, according to New York government.
Okay, so tell me about this amicus brief that the CEI is filing.
So we filed a brief that kind of went through all of the different ways and that the government has expanded its jawboning to kind of all different aspects of our lives, and one of those is social media and how it tried to coerce people or coerce the social media companies to silence the speech of citizens.
Yeah, and in fact, that's the overall. Is that not the overall item that that possibly the Supreme Court might rule on? The intimidation. Go ahead.
They very well might one day, and the rules are set down in this case.
Okay.
Not here, but the rules that are set down in this case will probably be applied in the future to how the government deals with social media companies.
Okay, because obviously one of the things, you know, overall that people have been looking at is you know, sticking your fingers or your hand or the federal government, you know, kind of intimidating platforms. And I guess I'm backing up here and just looking at the overall concept here of when the of when any government entity wants to invade free speech and say we would rather that you suppress this particular political viewpoint or this particular view, we would rather that you, and you know, we don't want to threaten you, but of course we can regulate you. And so it's with that sort of sword of Damocles that hangs over these, as an example, these social media platforms. They would feel threatened, right?
Exactly. You know, when the government threatens you and it has kind of that regulatory power over you, it's kind of a do what we want you to do or else that's in the air.
Right.
And that's a huge risk of silencing First Amendment protected speech.
Mm-hmm. So,
go ahead. There are other cases as well. For instance, if you remember the Obamacare case, when the government learned that an attorney was representing people and challenging this, they went to all of the other clients of that law firm and said, if you don't tell your lawyers to drop this case, we're going to investigate you.
Yeah.
Just for having the same lawyer.
I mean, what's the word? Is it blackmail or it's intimidation? It's certainly intimidation. I mean, that sounds egregiously wrong. You know, there's no question about it. And we've gotten to the point where our government, you know, feels that it has that ability, especially, I guess you might say, when we're talking government here, we're kind of talking the executive branch, aren't we?
Yes, we're talking about the executive branch action.
Yeah, exactly. So they're kind of picking and choosing, you know, in many cases, where they want to come in and kind of intimidate a little bit, and perhaps, you know, if you say the right thing, we're on your side, right?
Yeah, I mean, imagine, you know, you have a very successful business that's going on, and then the government decides to demand that you pull all your products from the marketplace. And they send a letter to all of your customers saying, are you going to pull these products from the marketplace? You have 48 hours to tell us. That can destroy a business overnight, regardless if they've done anything wrong or not.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. So the Supreme Court, tell us a little bit, perhaps, and by the way, I want to remind people, we're talking with Devin Watkins. He is an attorney for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and they have filed an amicus brief in a case that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear, and in this case, it has to do with the Second Amendment. So what is the timetable, Devin, on this particular case, if you could explain that?
So we filed at the petition for certiorari stay. That means that there was a bad decision in the circuit court, and we were asking the Supreme Court to hear this case. The Supreme Court granted the request, and so now it's going on to the merits briefing. So NRA is going to have their brief. There's going to be a response brief and then a reply brief by NRA. And then the court will schedule oral arguments for after that.
Okay. And so are we expecting to hear any oral arguments begin this year? In other words, 2023? Or what would the timetable, as you see it, look like with this?
Yep. Definitely not going to be in 2023. I'm not sure if they're going to have oral arguments done by the end of this term in June of next year.
Mm-hmm.
It may get pushed to the fall term. But it will be next year.
Got it. As long as we have you, Devin, are there any other cases right now that the Supreme Court has got under consideration that are rather important? I'm trying to remember some of the cases. This Supreme Court has a lot of very, important issues that they are considering, right?
It does. We're representing the petitioners, Charles Moore and his wife, in a case concerning the 16th Amendment and what income means. I can't go into a lot of detail about the case, but the government is claiming that you can have income even though you never received the money. The things you own just increased in value. And we think that that isn't the case. So we're challenging that in the Supreme Court right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be an interesting case. Well, I want to thank you, Devin, for coming on and talking. Listen, good luck in this case. Such an important thing, you know, this the freedom. And hopefully the Supreme Court will look kindly upon allowing the situation to remain free. So thank you so very much for coming on.
Sounds good. We look forward to a good Supreme Court decision, hopefully.
All right. Thank you. Devin Watkins, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we got lots to talk about. One of them is that the third GOP debate tonight for president, just 5 candidates. When we come back, we're going to tell you all about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Wednesday. Thank you so very much for joining us. Hey, this is kind of interesting. I kind of got a kick out of it. The House approved a measure last night that would slash Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg's tax-funded government salary to $1. Did you hear about that? The bill, which was introduced by our buddy Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, was passed by voice vote as an amendment to the 2024 Financial Services and General Government Appropriations Act.
We're finally getting our money's worth.
We're getting our money's worth. Good old Pete. Here's what she said. I like her. She says, I'm proud to announce my amendment to fire Pete Buttigieg just past the House. Pothole Pete staged fake bike rides to the White House and used private planes funded by taxpayers to receive awards for the way certain people have sex. Oh, goodness. Well, I hope that he spends that dollar very judiciously. That's all I got to say. All right. So, we got lost in all of what's going on, you know, with the wars and all of the elections and stuff last night. We got the GOP presidential debate coming up today. It's going to be in Miami. It's going to be on NBC, by the way, as opposed to Fox. It'll be at 8 p.m. Eastern time. It says here on NBC News. And whatever this is, it'll be live streamed on Rumble. You ever heard of Rumble, Ed? Yeah. Okay. Other debate partners will be Salem Radio Network and the Republican Jewish Coalition. So we got five. Only five.
That's it.
The fabulous five. And you know who they are? They are Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Chris Christie, Tim Scott, and good old Vivek Ramaswamy. Mm. Now, I think this will be an interesting debate. You know, when you clear the field a little bit, yeah, and you only have a handful of people, they can really go after each other.
Yeah, they get more time. They get more time to complain.
So now, missing from the debate stage will be North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, and former Vice President Mike Pence. Mm. They did not qualify. Actually, Pence has dropped out of the race altogether. RNC Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel said, we're looking forward to our third debate, a welcome opportunity for our candidates to showcase our winning conservative agenda. Now, to qualify for this debate, they had to register 4%. All the candidates had to register 4% in either two national polls or one national poll and two polls from separate early voting states like Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. They also had to have reached at least 70,000 donors, okay, with at least 200 donors in 20 states or territories. So they made everything a little bit tougher this time around to kind of, weed out the others. It says here, of the five candidates who will be up there tonight, stakes are especially high for Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. Now, those are the two that are running kind of far afield of the others right now. Haley has enjoyed a significant but not outsized burst of support in recent polling, partly thanks to previous debate performances. For DeSantis, the situation is different, but no less important, it says here. Now, you know, he's been running around Iowa. He's decided to go into every county in Iowa. And so it'll be especially interesting when the Iowa caucus occurs. That is going to be the first political voting event of the presidential season next year. And it'll be interesting to see how well DeSantis does from all of the effort he's put in, and the fact that the Iowa governor has endorsed Ron DeSantis. So that'll be an interesting... I'm going to watch the debate tonight. I think there will be some fireworks. I really do. So we'll see where all of that goes. All right. Adam Schiff. Good old Adam Schiff. Did you know that he is a California congressman, but he doesn't live there? He's got a little bungalow there, but he never shows up. He allegedly claimed his primary residence is Maryland for years, despite his being, you know, a congressman from California. He owns a $3,500 square foot home in Maryland. He owns a little, it's all a 650 square foot condo in California. And he designates that, the condo, as his primary residence. It's in Burbank, California. By claiming this little condo as his residence, he's able to get a $7,000 reduction in his property assessment. So he's also, you know, coming out well on the other end of this thing.
Where's the primary again?
That's his primary is actually here, is in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense because, you know, he's always in Washington, but
right.
He doesn't have any real kind of a decent residence
in
California.
There are people that have...
They probably never see him
houses
in California.
In the north and then winter homes in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Which you could do.
Oh, no, I understand.
But they're also not, you know, in government either.
Yeah, he's just kind of taking real advantage. Yeah. You know, he doesn't have any kind of a decent place.
They all do. They all take advantage of it, you know.
That's true.
That's why it's there.
Very true. I agree with you on that. I had a story here that I wanted to find. I can find it again. Yes. Did you know, and I said it's been a busy couple of days here, did you know that Special Counsel David Weiss, the guy that's investigating Hunter Biden,
right.
He went under the House Judiciary Committee in a private hearing. In other words, it was not open or televised. He's run more than a five-year investigation into Hunter Biden. It's interesting. The House has come up with more info than David Weiss has. Did you see that? You know that?
Oh, I believe it.
They've come up with more. They got the goods on Hunter Biden, and I don't know what the hell David Weiss is doing.
You and I may have
5 years, and what has he done?
You and I may have covered more items on the show here than he.
Oh, I think we have
probably.
I think we've done more investigating than he has. Anyway, he appeared voluntarily yesterday to testify before the House Judiciary Committee about the scope of his authority and whether or not he had the ability to take his case to California and other places to bring Hunter Biden to account. And there's a back and forth on whether or not he had the ability to do that. He claimed he did. But then some of the whistleblowers, the IRS whistleblowers, said, no, he didn't. He was not able to go to California and a couple of other places to get certain information. And he wasn't granted that permission. So I don't know where all of this is going. Apparently, and we don't know the text of what came out of the hearing yesterday, but I'm sure that Weiss was dancing around and not directly answering the questions. And they always say, well, I can't tell you anything about the investigation
right.
because it's under investigation, and therefore I can't tell you about it. But I'm here to make smirky smiles to you and dance around any questions
you
might ask
with
me.
What's going on in Israel and Trump in New York with his thing going on, the election getting closer, that is just going to keep falling down the ladder.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
And that's exactly what they want.
So the polls don't look good for good old Joe. I don't think Joe still knows whether there's two wars going on or five wars going on or what's going on. He won't even... They do not allow this guy to stand there and take any questions. All you ever see of Joe Biden, and this is it, he's walking across the lawn and avoiding anybody's questions, or he will stand there and he's got sunglasses on if he's outside, and I'm sure, you know, he's straining to read the teleprompter through the sunglasses. Or if he's inside, you can see him. All he ever does, if it wasn't for a teleprompter, I don't think you'd get any words coming out of his mouth. He doesn't even know which way to turn after he's finished making his speech. It's very sad to watch this guy. He's not going to get better. He's going to get worse.
Is there a challenger going to be? Anybody going to challenge him?
Well,
as far as,
our friend.
Is there going to be a debate or anything? Because that would be interesting.
Governor Newsom is all but announcing he's running for president.
Okay. Well,
I mean, didn't he go to where did he go? China. He went over to China.
Oh, did he?
Didn't he run over some kid on the basketball court over in China? They had a video of him playing basketball. I think it was in China. Yeah, he was in China. What's he doing going to China? He's the governor of California. Things are falling apart in California. He's in China running over some kid on a basketball court.
Hmm.
He didn't mean to run over the kid, but it looked kind of funny when he did. You know, the kid was okay.
Well, I mean, sure there's going to be a debate of some sort.
Well,
that'd be interesting.
And then we had, of course, Robert Kennedy Jr., who then became an independent candidate.
Mm-hmm.
They've got somebody else that's running. I don't even remember the name of the person that's running as a Democrat. And the press is going along with it. They're all but ignoring that person.
Mm.
You know. So all you got is Biden. I don't think Biden's going to make it. I really don't. I think you feel the same. I don't think he'll make it to November of next year. Do you?
I would say.
Do you think he will?
Even in the last 6 to 8 months, the amount of decline in which he's gotten into.
There's no question about it.
The way it shows, just like you said, walking from point A to point B. You know, and doing some sort of a speech or something and screwing it up or offending somebody by walking off in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
It's just getting worse.
And he apparently went back to that tall... You remember that tall tale about this guy on Amtrak that told him he had been on Amtrak for like a million miles? Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that the guy that he was talking about had passed away before the date that he said the guy talked to him about it. So, you know, he brought that story up again.
Mm.
So he forgets his lie.
Yeah.
And he brings it up again, even when he's chastised on it. I mean, the guy's, you know, in the dark about things. I mean, think about it. Could he get up on a stage and debate?
No.
Could he?
No.
In an open forum? Could he take an open series of questions? Could he take another guy on the dais hammering him?
I think that we know that he's not going to get reelected. And the biggest thing is, I think, our adversaries know that he's not going to get reelected. So if you want to get anything done, you can do it now.
That's what scares me.
Between now and a year from now.
I mean, we got to worry about Iran. We got to worry about China.
We're being attacked.
We got to worry about North Korea.
We're being attacked in Iran. Our troops are being attacked.
Yeah.
Nothing's being done.
Exactly right. All right. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we are going to give you the top 10 best states for education freedom.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal. You get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday, and we thank you so very much for joining us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. We always appreciate you joining us live. But if you can't join us live, Big Ed, make sure you have an opportunity to hear any of our shows by going to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and clicking on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows there for you. You'll see who the guest is, the topic with the guest, even the top 10. All you do is click on OurFreedomWorks.com and click on podcast, and away you go.
All right. We want to remind people, too, that if we got a letter from, I got a nice email from a lady the other day that used to live in Dunedin and moved to Tennessee. If you download the TuneIn Radio app, you can get our station on there.
Oh.
So she takes it out to Tennessee, and she listens out in Tennessee.
How do you do that?
It's just on your phone. There is an app. You go to the app store and download it. It's free. It's called TuneIn, and then once you load
called
it
tune
on
TuneIn.
TuneIn. And then go to open the app up, and where the search is, you put in Tantalk Network.
Oh.
Boom. Or Tantalk Radio.
So, sorry. And I am so bad with this.
And I just listen to them nice and loud and clear. And
oh, wonderful. So let's say I've got my phone, my Android phone.
Yep.
How do I do this? Do I actually...
You have an app store. On there's an app there that where you get your apps from.
Okay, it's on my...
It's on your phone, yes.
Oh, okay.
And then you hit that and you put in there to search TuneIn, and you'll see TuneIn Radio. And do you want to download? It's free. And yes. When you download it, you open it up and hit the search button there, and you type in Tantalk Radio, and the station comes up.
Oh, perfect. And the word tune in, is that one word?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
Yep.
Learn something new all the time. Hey, did you know, remember when Target was displaying these rather strange bathing suits, I think they were?
Yeah, the tuck stuff.
Major retailers continue to shut or shelve plans for their stores. Did you know that Target has abandoned plans to open new stores? Currently, they had one under construction in a Philadelphia neighborhood just 1 month after announcing the closure of 9 other stores. So Target, I don't know if a lot of this has to do with the fact that they were running those things, but Target's been in the news, and maybe some of that negative publicity, but they've decided to start shutting down some stores. This one in Philadelphia was set to open in what is called their University City neighborhood. It's near the University of Pennsylvania. And earlier this year, they shut down another store in Philadelphia due to underperformance. They still have 10 stores in Philly. The decision on the new store comes after they announced in September that 9 stores would be closed in New York, Seattle, Portland, and Oakland, and also a town, Pittsburgh, California. So I just wondered if any of that
was
a backlash and people aren't showing up.
I don't think it's all because of that. I think, you know, Target has their clothing and stuff, and they also sell a lot of food. But now, so right away you're in the, competing with Walmart. But now places like Aldi has bought Winn-Dixie, so they've expanded their grocery, and now their prices are lower, so now they're competing with Target.
I see.
I mean, look what happened to Kmart. Eventually,
they went out of business.
Yeah. Eventually,
too much.
They can't hang in there with the rest of them.
Yes, indeed. Ed, can we talk a little bit just before we go to our top 10, or do you need to take that call?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, in the sports world, maybe a little update on what is going on. We had talked about that horrible loss by the Bucks last weekend. We don't need to talk about the upcoming game yet. The college basketball season has started, and for me, that's a big deal. I know you're not a big college basketball fan, but we've also got hockey going on. We still have college football going on. I was watching the Lightning, our local hockey team. They've been playing fairly well.
Yeah. They've found their groove.
They seem to have found their groove. They went to Montreal, and they won last night pretty well.
Yeah. And with college football, this is the exciting part. This is when the temperatures get lower and we get cold weather games. You know, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Ohio State's up there. Florida State is up there in the top three.
Yeah.
So I always pull for when the Florida school, except for Miami, I always pull for a Florida school when they're up around that area.
You like when they go to the colder climate and play? Is that what you mean?
I love that.
It's more footballish.
Because, the students are out. They don't care.
I think it's more fun.
Oh, it is. It is.
I absolutely agree with you. Growing up in Chicago, I wouldn't go to college, but I went to high school football games. And it was really fun in October and early November to be watching football.
There is no comparison between a pro game and college because that the kids that are there, that's their weekend. That's what they live for.
Very energetic.
And then they stand the whole damn time.
Yeah.
They sit during the commercial breaks, and then they stand when the game comes on.
Yeah.
So, but...
why don't you like Miami? Because you just said Miami, except for Miami.
I don't know. Miami's just since the past of some of the problems that they had down there and the way that program is run.
Okay.
I'm just not a fan of theirs.
Yeah.
The Gators kind of got in a funk there, and the Seminoles, too. I mean, the Seminoles haven't been the same since Bobby Bowden passed away.
They haven't. Now,
Jimbo Fisher brought him up, but then he moved on. But now they're playing very well. Are they going to national championship? I don't think so.
Is Georgia still ranked number one?
Yes.
Ohio State.
Ohio State is not ranked number one.
Now, that's interesting. I'm kind of pulling for Ohio State just because I from a Big Ten area.
There's a program that has a lot of tradition, and I like that program.
Yeah. Woody Hayes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Ed. Appreciate all that info. It is time for our top 10. You'll have to get on the drums. You're so good at that. This is from the Heritage Foundation, which we call on all the time, people from the Heritage Foundation. They have come up with what they call the top 10 best states for education freedom. What do we mean by that? Well, they rank states based on the schools and the following qualities when it comes to freedom: education choice, transparency, teacher freedom, in other words, their ability to to teach, I guess that's it, and say what they feel, and return on investment. Mm. When you send your kid to that class, that school, are they really getting a good education?
And not out doing selfless marches.
Yeah, exactly. So these are the top 10 best states. So keep your ear out on this, Ed, because I'm going to ask you what you think is number one. Okay, number 10. The state of Oklahoma is 10th. Now, they're 5th in education choice. They're 42nd in transparency. They are 8th in teacher freedom. And 24th in return on investment. Number 9, Iowa, a Midwestern state, 4th in education choice, 16th in transparency, 30th in teacher freedom, and 25th in return on investment. Number 8, Texas, yes, indeed. 30 in education choice. Number 3 in transparency. No.
When you said number.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. I shouldn't say number. 3 in transparency, 6 in teacher freedom, and 11 in return on investment. All right. Number 7. Tennessee. 17 in education choice, 12 in transparency, 13 in teacher freedom, 4th in return on investment. Number 5. Make that number 6. You're getting me all confused, Dad. I'm going to blame you. Number 6 is Mississippi. Yeah. Mississippi is usually considered a poor state, but it's 6th in freedom, all right? But it's 13th in education choice. It is 31st in transparency. It's number 1 in teacher freedom.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? And 16th in return on investment. Number 5. Indiana, education choice, 3, transparency, 14, teacher freedom, 25, return on investment, 31. Number 4, Arkansas. Good old Arkansas, like Mississippi, a kind of a surprise. Education choice, 6, transparency, 10, teacher freedom, 10, return on investment, 18. All right, number 3, Utah. Education choice 8, transparency 9, teacher freedom 19, return on investment 2. Mm. Okay, number 2. Arizona. They are number 1 in education choice. They are number 4 in transparency. They are number 5 in teacher freedom and 12th in return on investment. All right, Ed, what do you think?
Number 1. I'm thinking probably because they have too much freedom is maybe California.
Well, that's an interesting choice. It's Florida.
Florida.
Our home state of Florida is number 1 in education freedom. They are number 2 in education choice. They are number 1 in transparency. They are number 2 in teacher freedom. And they are number 5 in return on investment. So maybe Governor Ron DeSantis has been doing something pretty good. He's allowing all of this freedom in the classroom.
I thought it was the other way around.
I thought so too. You would think that somehow everybody's got a muzzle on them, but it's the opposite.
Now, real quickly, before we leave, that first song today. Now, how the hell did you dream that? Did that come in the middle of the night, chewing gum?
Yeah,
you called me and said, "Play the chewing gum song. Stick it to your."
I'm sorry that I gave you that responsibility. It's an old song, and I knew it was sung by some British group. That's all I could remember. But it was a cute song. If you hear the whole thing, it's a cute song. And it was very popular in the 60s. Mm. All right. Thank you for listening. We will be back on Friday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kaffin. Ivanka Trump on the stand today in the civil fraud trial that's angered her father, former President Trump, and imperiled the family business.